This is an audio resource for the Maritime Archaeology Trust Fathoming the Future project. In this resource, we'll be examining some of the language used regarding Asian or Black seamen. We will also be looking at some items for various shipwrecks and discussing what these items can tell us about the era. This will be done by examining newspapers, monuments and artefacts. For more information about Lascars, please consult the Trust's podcast entitled Uncharted Maritime Tales, Episode 1, The Camberwell. When Lascars were serving in the Navy, newspapers used interesting language, which, with a modern perspective, can be interpreted as belittling and discriminatory. Extremely patronising language against Lascars was used in the Evening Telegraph Post and Dundee Evening Telegraph in 1912, with titles such as Can Lascars Man a Ship's Lifeboat? The sailors of the P&O Company were demanding more white men on board, as they frequently criticised other foreign seamen, particularly Lascars, as not having the ability to man a lifeboat. A picture was included in the article of the boat drill performed by the Lascars with such efficiency. However, there was an underlying suggestion that these men only needed an efficient white officer to ensure that they could make a good crew in the mercantile service. What the picture in the newspaper portrayed was the boat drill being performed by a group of Lascars with a white officer supervising the men who looked disciplined and to be following orders. Many newspapers reported constant accusations of cowardice pertaining to the Lascars. In 1912, an article from the Framlingham Weekly News entitled Lascars Petrified by Fear spoke about the aftermath of a disaster when a boat capsized. The article attempts to distinguish the attitude between sailors of different races, stating the white crew as behaving magnificently, but the Lascars behaved stupidly and were petrified by fear. It was reported that they were kept in hand by the example of the English officers and strict discipline. The article was also published in the Berks and Oxon Advertiser, the Christchurch Times and Wigton Advertiser in 1912, indicating that this was a widely held belief. Yet, there were some Lascars or black seamen who proved they were successful despite the discrimination. One, such as Marcus Bailey. Bailey was a black Barbadian seaman who had crewed on 34 merchant and fishing ships by 1912. He was the mate on Wild Rose in 1915, which was an unusual position for a non-white sailor. And in 1916, he was in the Navy on HMS Chester. Bailey's story does reflect that despite Lascars and other foreign seamen being preconceived as useless due to prejudice or the misconception that they were unable to behave on ships without officers' discipline, some of them, like Bailey, fought avidly against this fallacy and were successful in their careers at sea. On the one occasion, a story of heroism was published. It was seen not as a contradiction, but as an exception to the rule. This was clearly relayed by Captain Hamilton of the Anchor Line steamer Anchoria, a ship that was being navigated through very rough weather and a northwest monsoon blowing. In the chaos, six lifeguards were washed overboard, but three of them managed to rescue three of the crew as the dinghy was launched. An article published in the Wicklow Newsletter and County Advertiser in 1912 was complimentary of their bravery, stating, "The fact that these men were able to rescue their comrades in such a boat and in such heavy sea speaks volumes for their pluck." It is also a great tragedy that many sailors known as Lascars were not valued because of their service, but largely due to their cheap labour and ability to do more dangerous jobs. In an article published in 1912 by the Dundee Evening Telegraph, simply titled, "Are Lascars a Failure?" discussions in Parliament were revealed as to the real reason for the Lascars being employed on British ships during this time. Namely, Lascars would serve for lower wages and only require 2 meals a day. Interestingly, it also highlighted how drunkenness was a lot less common amongst Lascar sailors, which appears to directly contradict a separate article written in the same year and published in the Framlingham Weekly News. This article, published 3 weeks before "Are Lascars a Failure?", claimed that Lascar deaths, in this case referring to black and Asian seamen, were disproportionately high if they were placed in the stokeholes. However, this article dismissed the reason as being due to a perilous job working in the stokeholes and instead attributed a large number of deaths simply to Lascar's drinking habit. Yet, the ratio of British seamen losing their lives to drink was 1 in 1,617, as opposed to Lascars, 1 in 43,004. I'm now going to discuss monuments. If we examine the monuments and memorials dedicated to Lascars, two key sites are the Tower Hill Memorial in London and Holyrook in Southampton. Men lost at sea resulted in very few bodies being recovered during the First World War, so post-war memorials became very important. However, very few black and Asian seamen are recognised on memorials. In reading the forgotten wrecks of the First World War, it was clear that the storylines from that part of the booklet clearly indicated that black and Asian seamen are really missing from the Tower Hill Memorial in London. Yet in Mumbai and Hong Kong they are recognised, such as the Lascar War Memorial in Kolkata, erected by shipping companies in 1920. On the Bombay 1914 to 1918 memorial in Mumbai, there are 1,708 members of the Indian Merchant Service commemorated, and 532 Chinese merchant seamen on the Hong Kong War Memorial, and 25 Egyptian seamen on the Suez War Memorial. A historian, John Sibley, suggested that during the 1920s, the Imperial War Graves Commission separated seamen onto different memorials so that only white British and European sailors would be commemorated in London. This is clear from those who died on SS Aparima. The Holyrook Memorial, No Grave but the Sea in Southampton, commemorates those lost at sea from the land and air forces and those who have known resting place. It was built by the War Graves Commission and unveiled in December 1930 to commemorate the 1,852 members whose lives were lost when the hospital, troop or merchant ships they were sailing on were mined or torpedoed, mostly in home waters. More than 100 panels list the names of 28 ships and 2 airships. As more information came to light on the loss of lives in 2010, more panels have been added, and there are now a total of 1,930 names. Several panels which can be found at Holyrook are dedicated to SS Mende. These are panels 3 to 19. The SS Mende was a troop ship transporting 802 men of the South African Native Labour Corps to France, where they were to join a multinational labour force building railways, trenches, camps and roads. As the ship neared the Isle of Wight in heavy fog on the 21st of February 1917, it was struck on the starboard side by a British ship, the Dario. Which was twice the size of the Mende and travelling at full speed. The Dario did not stop and many of the troops sleeping on starboard were killed instantly. The Mende sank in 25 minutes and 646 men died. It was not possible to launch starboard lifeboats due to the damage to the ship, but the port side lifeboats did launch and survivors were picked up by HMS Brisk. Most of the Africans on board the ship had never seen the sea before until they boarded the Mende. The master of the Dario was suspended for his poor behaviour, but this was only for 12 months. Over 200 survivors were taken back to England before being reassigned to other battalions and continued on to France. Some of those who drowned were washed ashore and buried in graveyards in Sussex. There are 596 named at the Holyrook Memorial and occupy 16 panels. A ceremony was held at Holyrook in 2017, attended by Her Royal Highness Princess Anne, Vice Admiral Sir Timothy Lawrence and the South African High Commission. The wreck is a protected place under the Protection of Military Remains Act 1986. It was identified by diver Martin Woodward, who founded and established the Isle of Wight Shipwreck Centre and Maritime Museum in 1978, which houses thousands of items he has recovered from a seabed over the years, alongside with other maritime and diving exhibits. There are several artefacts recovered from the Mende wreck which are on display in the museum. I'm now going to mention artefacts. There are many artefacts recovered from both the SS Camberwell and the SS Mende which are on display at the museum. A total of 58 artefacts recovered from the Camberwell have been recorded as part of the Forgotten Wrecks of the First World War project. Items such as fixtures and fittings include brass fittings, lamps and lamp parts, a whistle, parts of the telegraph and a decorative line fitting. There is also steering gear, a small ship's bell, cutlery and a large copper kettle. Within the ship's cargo, there is a range of interesting items such as blue glass bottles, ink bottles, bicycle pumps, headlamps, and also a quantity of 10 rupee notes, prepaid postcards, and wax sealing sticks. The extensive cargo records from insurance have enabled the identification of these artifacts, and are from different countries that were exporting goods and materials from the UK to India. To learn more about many of the vessels mentioned or of the artifacts, you can head to the Shipwreck Centre website and plan your visit. But it is important that the museum continues to be seen as an exhibition of local maritime heritage. Thank you very much for listening. This has been recorded for the Maritime Archaeology Trust Fathoming the Future project, made possible thanks to the National Lottery Heritage Fund. This resource was researched and written by Shirley Wilson, with information drawn from many of the Trust's Forgotten Wrecks of the First World War booklets. These are titled No Grave But the Sea, Black and Asian Seamen, and the Hollybrook Memorial Booklet, all of which can be found on the Trust website. Thank you.